Welcome. You are listening to the Learning to Believe Again podcast with your host, Brittany Bexton.
Where do you begin when you're learning to believe again?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you have had a wonderful week. This week, we're going to conclude our series about the laws of God. And this week, we're going to be talking about God's law of blessings and curses. So, we want to dive back into the Old Testament for a moment, because when we look in the Old Testament, we see a lot about God's laws. Deuteronomy has many places where it outlines the law. And in Deuteronomy 28, we see outlined very clearly the blessings that we get for following the law of God and the consequences or curses that happen as a result of not following the law of God. Now, the law of God was put into place for our good. It was to bring order. You know, if you think about what society would look like if we did not have any police and people were able to run rampant in crime, doing whatever they wanted. It's kind of the same thing. The law of God was for our good. It was to protect us, just as the law of the land is to protect us, though we might not agree with every piece of the law of the land. We know that God is good and that the law of God is good, and it was for our good. But the law of God also requires us to do it perfectly. And it says in the Bible that we cannot perfectly fulfill the law. It's impossible for our flesh to do that. And when the law is not followed, it can bring a curse. But when it is followed, it brings a blessing. So the law of God was actually a gift from God. But the law itself couldn't save us or our flesh from our own disobedience. And it says that our flesh cannot possibly stay consistent and follow every law of God. We will accidentally break it somehow. But this is where Jesus Christ comes in. Jesus Christ came to save us because Jesus Christ became the one perfect person who could perfectly follow the law. He became the perfect holy example of following the law, and he did follow it perfectly. And in him, he took upon himself the curses, every curse of law breaking. He took it upon his body on the cross. He actually became a curse for us on the cross. And in doing that, he freed us from the power of the law to curse us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to follow God's law. We are still supposed to keep his law to the best of our ability. But because of Jesus Christ, when that gets outside of our ability to live it perfectly, Jesus Christ already became the curse for us so that we could be blessed. And in Galatians 3:13, it talks about that Christ became the curse for us so that we would be freed from the curse of the law, and that we are freed from every curse of the law. Now, that being said, we actually have to receive his free gift of becoming the curse for us, which means accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it also requires repentance. You know, just because Jesus freed us from it doesn't mean that we don't have to repent or confess that we have done things wrong at times. So you can see in Deuteronomy 28, curses that can come from the law, but you also see in Deuteronomy 28, blessings that come from the law of God when it is followed. So now those blessings are available to us through Christ Jesus when we do our best to walk with God and follow his laws. Jesus Christ fills in the gaps. We just have to stand with him, believe it, speak his blood over us, believe what he's done for us, and stand in the blessing of God and repent when we know that we've messed up. But there is another verse that I want to bring up. It's actually Proverbs 18:21. Now, this is kind of a different aspect of looking at this, but we have power in our tongue. It says in Proverbs 18:21 in the Amplified Bible, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. So what that tells us is that we have power in our words and we need to be careful what we speak. Now, this applies especially now that Jesus Christ has come for us, because we can claim the life and the power of Jesus Christ on the cross, or we can speak death. Now, we don't want to speak death. We don't want to curse. We don't want to curse ourselves. We have power in our tongues. So part of embracing what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross is partnering our mouth with that. So we want to speak life. We want to speak the lifeblood of Jesus. We do not want to get into complaining. And we need to be careful with our words, because our words do have the power to curse or bless. And a lot of the time, people can inadvertently actually curse themselves and their own lives without realizing it. So we have to be cognizant of our words and very aware of what we are speaking over ourselves and others. So what do I mean by that? Well, this can look like even complaining. We want to be careful that we do not complain, because when we complain, we actually amplify the problem instead of amplifying the solution. So it's not to say that there aren't times that we need to talk through or process something that's going on, but we always want to have the mindset that Christ is greater than what we're going through and that he can bring blessing out of it. And we do not want to focus on the negative. So if you are praying for someone and you haven't seen the breakthrough yet, you want to be careful how you speak about that person. Don't talk so much about the problem. Speak God's word over them. Speak God's promises over them. Speak God's truth over them. Maybe currently they are in the pig pen like the prodigal son was, but instead of speaking that they're in the pig pen, speak that they are finally coming to their senses and they are coming home out of the pig pen, out of the mess, and into the goodness of God. We want to speak that they're coming to repentance. No matter what they say, no matter what they've confessed out of their mouths, we can speak the word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to be careful that we do not curse people or situations. Another good example is, you know, we've had some challenges in our country in the last number of years. And it would be really easy to say some negative things about what is going on in the country. But instead of speaking death or negativity over the country, we want to be careful with our words. We don't want to talk about political leaders sinking things or causing problems or being a nightmare. We want to speak blessings over our country. We want to speak that God's people humble themselves and pray and he heals their land. We want to speak that our country is blessed by the Lord and he guides the leaders of our country. We want to speak over the leaders that they hear the voice of God and that they turn from their wicked ways, if that's what they're doing, and they turn to him and they walk with him. We want to speak the righteousness of God over our nations. So that is one example. But I also want to talk about some sneaky things that you might be speaking over yourself without even realizing it, because we have some phrases and even slang terms in society that people use that are actually like cursing themselves. So what do some of those look like? If somebody says that something is just killing them, and what they mean is they're laughing, like, oh man, they say that that's just killing them. That's killing them so hard or whatever. You know, they're saying that it's funny, like they're laughing so hard, but you don't want to speak that something's killing you. No, no, you don't want to speak that. I have a friend, actually, my friend Mary Elam. I hope she doesn't mind me calling her out. You know, there's a phrase that a lot of people say that they'll say they love you to death. But when she says that, she doesn't say it that way. She says, I love you to life, because she understands the power of our words and she wants to speak life over people. So she loves them to life. We don't want our love to bring people to death, although we can love them until the day they pass. But the truth is that we will love people long after they pass. We want to love them to life. So we want to be careful with our words, even words that are common slang terms or common phrases that people use. We don't want to say something is killing someone or us. We want to say that it's making us laugh hysterically or, oh my goodness, I almost spit out my drink. You know, we can say a lot of things without using that word. We want to speak life. Another thing that could be a word curse that you're unaware that you're speaking over yourself is to say something is driving you crazy. We don't want to come into agreement with that. Something might be bothering you a bit and it needs to be dealt with, but you are not crazy and you are not being driven crazy and you do not want to speak that over yourself. Another thing that you don't want to speak over yourself, surely you don't want to speak this over yourself. You do not want to say that you are losing your mind or that something is making you lose your mind. You are literally giving the power of that thing or that situation or those people groups to cause you to lose your mind because you yourself have come into agreement with that if you have said that. So you want to break those curses. Now, you might be listening to this and going, oh my gosh, there are so many things that I say now that I'm thinking about it that are not good. Like, I can't say that. What have I done? Well, good. Well, the good news is God is gracious. And now you're aware and you can speak life instead. So all you need to do if you've spoken a curse over yourself is to just repent and renounce that curse and come out of agreement with it. So renounce means to divorce. So you want to divorce yourself from that word curse and that lie. So you renounce it, you repent of it. So you're just taking responsibility. I said this, but I shouldn't have. I feel sorry for it, you know, I repent. So you want to repent, you want to renounce it, and you want to come out of agreement with that law and then break that curse off of yourself. And you can do that when someone else has spoken a curse over you. One, you don't have to come into agreement with it, but two, you can break that off of yourself and speak the opposite, speak life. So if you have been someone that has said something is causing you to lose your mind, you want to stop that. You want to break that curse off of yourself and you want to speak life. You want to start speaking that you have the mind of Christ Jesus. You want to start speaking that God has given you a sound mind and self-control. You want to start speaking the good things of God. You want to say that your memory is getting better every day. Maybe you've been having memory challenges recently. That could be a fact, but the truth of God is that we are healed through Christ Jesus. So instead of speaking that, speak that your memory is getting better and better every day because you are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. You know, you may have been dealing with pain, but instead of accepting that pain or speaking about that pain or even saying something, you know, like arthritis, for example, yes, that can run in families because of generational issues, but that doesn't mean that you have to accept it. You don't have to say that it ran in your family, so you're dealing with it. You can say, it may have run in my family, but this is where it stops. I will not accept that. I am healed by the stripes of Christ Jesus. So we want to be careful with our words, and we want to speak life over ourselves and over other people. And I also want to encourage you, you might be concerned that because we have so much power in our tongue, that another person could curse you. Now, somebody could. You might feel the weight of that. If you're aware of it, you can break it off and you can ask God to break any word curses off of you. But in Proverbs 26:2 in the New Living Translation, it says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. So it basically says that a curse without cause cannot land. So someone might be slandering you. That is curses. That's word curses. But it's slander. It's a lie. If you are living godly and you aren't doing those things, that curse cannot land on you. Now, you might feel the weight of it. You might feel the warfare in the spirit, and you can break and bind those word curses. We see in Isaiah 54:17 that it says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says God." That is the New King James Version. It can also say, "You condemn every tongue that slanders you, and your vindication comes from the Lord." So it is God who vindicates you. So you condemn the slander. So you can break those curses with your words, break them off, condemn the slandering tongue, and claim the vindication of God. So I hope that today's episode encouraged you that there are blessings available to us even when we are not fully able to follow every bit of the law, because Jesus Christ came for us and became the curse for us so that we could embrace the blessings of God and that we could fully receive the blessings of God, because he took our sin. We just claim Jesus and we do our best to walk in the laws of God. And then he does the rest. And we want to make sure that we partner with the blessings of God by speaking life over ourselves and over others. I hope that you have a blessed day and a blessed week ahead. I will talk to you next week.
Where do you begin when you're learning?